marriage, hauntings, murder. We've got it all. A husband and wife talking about all things real, scary, and truthful. Welcome to our podcast. Hey guys, are you in the United States or Japan and looking for a private investigation? Then I have got the website for you. Head to yaminotante.org and you will be able to find everything you need about them, ways to contact them, case types, and so much more. They are there to help you, like I said, if you are in the United States or Japan. All you have to do is head to www.yaminotante.org and you'll find everything you need and so much more. You can contact them if you have any questions and they'll be there to help you no matter what. So check them out if you're looking for a private investigator in the United States or Japan, and enjoy. Hey guys, Halloween is coming, so I thought I would do creepy little Halloween stories for you. According to everything I found, they are all true. So let's get scared together. The first up story is called The Real Life Candyman. 8-year-old Timothy O'Brien's father murdered him in Houston on October 31st, 1974 because he poisoned his candy while they were out trick-or-treating. Ronald O'Brien gave his son Timothy, his 5-year-old sister, and his neighbor's son Pixie Sticks, which were paper straws containing tangy-flavored sugar that he doctored, filling up the top 2 inches with cyanide. So before going to bed, Timothy was allowed to eat one piece of candy. He asked his dad which one he could have, and his dad gave him the Pixie Stick. His father watched him as he poured the poison into his mouth, even giving him Kool-Aid to wash out the bitter taste. Why did he do this, you may ask? Life insurance. He'd purchased life insurance for each of his children, and he was going to reap the benefits of it after having killed them by poisoning them with Halloween candy. Timothy was the only one who ate the candy and the only child that was known to have been harmed by poison candy, in spite of the rumor that goes around every year. So maybe actually check your candy. I don't know. You never know. Excuse me. The second story on Halloween is the Liske family massacre. So BJ Liske brutally murdered his father William, his stepmother Susan, and his 23-year-old stepbrother Derek on Halloween in 2010. So this one is a little more recent than the last one. Derek's brother, who was 16, came home the next day after staying the night at a friend's house and discovered that their bodies were strewn along the house and murdered the next morning. He thought maybe it was a Halloween prank, that this wasn't real, but of course it was. BJ pleaded guilty to bludgeoning Derek with a claw hammer and then fatally shooting William and Susan. He also sexually assaulted Susan prior to her death, and then BJ killed himself in prison in 2015. So that is terrifying. Martha Moxley is the next story. The body of a 15-year-old girl was discovered on October 31st, 1975. The community of Greenwich, Connecticut, which Martha had been bludgeoned to death with a golf club. She was last seen hanging out with her friend Thomas and her neighbor. And he was related to the Senator Robert F. Kennedy. I'm like, I cannot get my words out this morning. Thomas's younger brother, Michael, was tried and convicted in 2000 for her murder, though not Thomas himself. The case was unsolved for 25 years, and Michael served 10 years in prison and then was granted a new trial based on the judge finding that his original defense had not adequately represented him. He was freed in 2013 on a $1.2 million bond, and his conviction was vacated, and a new trial was ordered. So on October 30th, 2020, 45 years to the day since Martha was last seen alive,
the state announced it would not retry him. So that was pretty crazy. There was a true crime book that was released about her in 1999 that was written by Mark Furman, and he was the cop whose racism revealed OJ murder trial information. So I don't really know what that has to do with anything, but it was listed, so I thought I would talk about it as well. Like, hey, maybe you should read this book. I don't know. I do remember hearing her story. I think we might have actually talked about her story, but I'm not for sure on that. Cash keeps scratching, and I'm going to lose it. So then there were the egging murders that also happened on Halloween. 21-year-old Carl Jackson was fatally shot on Halloween in 1998 by Curtis Sterling. He was one of a group of boys he'd confronted earlier that egged his girlfriend's car. According to the New York Times, at least 24 people between 1984 and 2010 were seriously wounded or killed in stabbings, shootings, beatings, or accidents sparked by egg-throwing confrontations around Halloween, which is crazy. In 2010, the story said 2 days before Halloween in 1994, a man leaving a bar in Brooklyn was hit with eggs tossed by several boys. The man stabbed and killed one of the boys, a 12-year-old. In 1996, a 10-year-old Brooklyn boy was shot in the neck by a stray bullet after an egg fight on Halloween. And on October 29, 2005, Joseph Pedro, who was 31 and the brother of a police detective, was shot and killed in the Bronx after he chased a group of teenagers who pelted his minivan with eggs. So basically, this is just a cautionary tale of do not egg vehicles ever. Thank you very much. So then the last little story is the killing of Japanese exchange student Yoshi Hatero. I don't know how to say it. Hattery. I apparently cannot read. Yoshi, who was 16, knocked on a door in 1992 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They had gotten lost, him and his friend, on their way to a Halloween party and thought that they found it when they saw a house with Halloween decorations. The address was 10311 and the address of the party was 10131, so they did get confused. The homeowner, 30-year-old Rodney Pierce, opened the door, and Yoshi excitedly told him that they were there for the party and didn't seem to realize that he had a gun, which he used to shoot him point blank in the chest. Pierce originally wasn't charged, but after a public outcry, the case did go to trial, but a jury agreed that it was self-defense and found him not guilty, which I don't see how that could be self-defense, because he said, I'm just here for the party, and then he shot him. So I don't know how that happened and how it would be self-defense, but what do I know? So yeah, little creepy Halloween stories for you. You can definitely look them up and get more into detail if you want, but I just wanted to do like a quick little Halloween thing. We're definitely going to do a bigger one on Halloween, but this is what you get right now. So get excited for Halloween, and we will scare you later.